Father in heaven, we thank you once again for the singular privilege to gather, to assemble, Lord God. We do not gather, we assemble unto you. And so we come to say thank you for this honor, this great privilege, particularly the honor of having you present here with us. We can feel your presence already. Thank you for inhabiting the praise of your people tonight. As we come to deliver and share this word and to receive it, we are acutely aware of the human limitations of our mind and of our spirits to both break down and deliver this word, this compressed wisdom of the Almighty God, and then also to receive it. So we come to ask for help. In particular, I come as one under the authority of my fathers, come to strip myself of every confidence I may have in my preparation, what I believe you told me to speak tonight. All of that doesn't matter. What matters now, Lord, is your mercy to be faithful, a faithful steward of this word. That as I speak, you'll anoint my tongue afresh, like the pen of a ready writer. So as I speak, I will write your will and your word upon the hearts of the people, that this word will go forth, Lord, from you through me, Lord, without any hindrance, Lord, of self, Lord, that will go forth as a river of life to bring light, wisdom, and understanding to the people of God, so that everywhere this word goes in all the earth, your power will follow it to cause men to be hearers and to be doers of that which they hear, being blessed in all that they do in the name of Jesus. I further ask you, having to be precise, to be concise, so I will not say anything that is unnecessary. Bring it forth from out of the treasure of your word, things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. As I speak, your power and presence fill the air, breaking every yoke, meeting every need, causing our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation knowledge of your word, our wills to be more humble, therefore submitted to your will, and our emotions to be controlled and tempered even further by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, especially divine love. I also ask, as I speak, Lord, that power will go forth through me, Lord God, and will touch and write your will and word upon the hearts of your people, causing, Lord God, all of us to be changed, to be transformed by your word, by the Spirit, to be more like Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I also ask for mercy to be faithful. I duck under the anointing of my fathers, and I take upon me their mantles to enable me to preach, to deliver this word even as they would were they here personally. As I speak, Lord, let this word go forth as a river of refreshing, bringing refreshing to all that hear it, including myself, but especially to them. So as they hear this word and, Lord, drink from this vine and eat from this vine they have planted, they'll be tremendously satisfied, abundantly pleased with the travail of their souls in and through me in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Heavenly Father, because you are faithful to do more than we can ask or can think, according to your mercies, according to your power that is at work in us. We pray and ask and receive all this and much more that you have for us tonight. In the matchless name of the Lord Jesus. And the people say, if you believe that prayer, say amen with conviction. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, somebody. Well, we want to thank God again for this great honor. Indeed, it is an honor and a privilege to bring the word tonight again at this hallowed pulpit that God has used to perfect the saints over these years. And the time of showing has come, folks. Amen. Of exhortation, the Bible says, should we not gather, we should not forsake the gathering of ourselves together, much the more so as we see the day approaching. And the reason for that is that we can continue to exhort one another, continue to comfort and strengthen and encourage one another. And I bring such a word today, which is, I believe, a word of exhortation. It came to me some time ago, and the Lord, I believe, brought it to my mind again as I was asking what he wanted me to share. I'd actually, you know, scribbled it out somewhere. And so when I was asking the Lord what he wanted to share, I believe this is what he spoke to my heart. And I believe it's current and it's, you know, a word in season, because it has to do with the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God and the Spirit of life. Amen. And, what brought it about was that it was Pastor Deering and myself, and I think Pastor Andrew was talking yesterday in the office there about how the Word, instead of being the thing that grows saints up, that the Word is now being put aside and neglected for other things. And, you know, we were speaking, and it came to me as we were talking, you know, because saying that you know, you cannot grow, you cannot become what God wants you to be without the power of the Word and the Spirit in our lives. And sadly, many places, that Word, even though it goes forth, it does not produce what it should be producing in the lives of those saints who, quote unquote, hear it. Amen. And that's an anomaly, really. That's a very big anomaly. Because the Bible says, and we're going to start in the scripture right away. Give me Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 4, I believe. Yes. Chapter 8, verse 4. Very familiar verse, if you're a member of this house. It's a very familiar verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. Let's read it together. This is going to form the crux of what we're going to be talking about today. Let's read it together. Say, where the word of the king, where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? In other words, the word of the king never goes forth except with power. Now, in the traditional sense of it, the Amplified, give me the answer in Amplified. I wrote Amplified, that's what it says. Where, for the word of a king is authority and power. So the word of a king always has authority behind it, authority of his kingship, and also it contains power in it, which makes it a word that cannot be gainsaid. In the traditional understanding, of course, we understand what he's saying here is that refers to the authority and the power of the spoken word or the written word of a king. Usually, I mean, in this particular instance, in those days in the Old Testament, the word of a king was either life or death. There was nothing you could do about the word of a king. If a king spoke the word, it had to be done. No, I mean, even in our own Nigeria here, we have Kabiyesi, Kabiokosi. You know, Daddy was sharing with me, Daddy, was sharing with me the other day about what used to happen in his days when a king is going and, you know, everybody's shaking and shivering because anything can happen. Just being around there, particularly if you're a lady or a young lady or something, you had a little bit of, you know, you were a fine lady. You could leave your mother's house that day, your father's house that day, and end up in the king's harem before the end of the day. And it was like that. So in those days, just as it was then, so the person that wrote this was writing traditionally in the sense of where the king's word is, any king had authority and power. So anything he said had to be done. It carried authority to have the king's desire accomplished without any contention. Amen. And it could also be the same thing for a spiritual king, for example, like the Lord Jesus Christ, like God. And for example, Jesus said, peace, be still, and it was done. Amen. That was the word of a king. That was authority. That was power. And like we said, when we preached that message some time ago, you know, rest in the storm, the people were so afraid. They said, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And we said that that's exactly the manner of man you and I are supposed to be. All of us are kings in Christ Jesus. That's the whole point. Amen. But anyway, so this is the traditional interpretation. However, in the manifold wisdom of God, I believe the Lord showed me that this word of a king also refers to the word of the Lord that is spoken through developing and developed kings, those in spiritual authority, as those in the fivefold ministry. Anyone with spiritual authority in the fivefold ministry, pastors, prophets, apostles, evangelists and teachers, any word of that king that goes for the king, of course, being the Lord God himself, amen, that goes forth through these kings has power, and it has the authority of a king behind it to bring it to pass. Amen. Mark chapter 4. Give me Mark 4, chapter 4, verse 14. I want to see something here. Mark 4, 14. I think it's 4, 14. Hello, somebody. We're a bit slow today. Who's up there? Bimbo. Who's there? Says the sower soweth the word. Now, this is it's an obvious statement. But there's something the Lord brought me out. He said, the sower does not sow his word. What that word is, the word of the king, the word of the king, and the word of the kingdom. So the person who's preaching, I was talking about, you know, people who are in authority, the pastors, authority, fivefold ministry, anyone preaching the word of the kingdom, that or should not, let me not say does not. Some people do sow their own word. That's why it doesn't have any effect. But the essence is that A person preaching the word of the king is not sowing his own word. So that word that goes forth is the word of the king, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom. And as that word is spoken under the authority of the king himself, because all power and all authority are ordained of Christ, of God. Bible says, Romans 13, there is no power but that is ordained of God. Because when he's speaking, like for example, I'm speaking here now, by the grace of God, I'm standing under the authority of my fathers, who are under the authority of the king. So the word that we're preaching today is not something that I've conjured up, by the grace of God. Now I know it's not failing everywhere you go. Some places there's not even any word at all. But that is not so in this place. Amen? So the word that we're speaking here, it doesn't belong to me. The word that we're speaking is under authority to my kings, who are also authority to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So that word is the word of the king. And because it is spoken under the authority of the king himself, the king there being God, being the Lord Jesus Christ, the power and authority in that word still derives from the source, which is God. Do we understand what we're saying? So it doesn't matter who's speaking the word, as long as that person is under authority to subject to leadership. And of course, I mean, we'll talk about that later, but that person also has to be a pure vessel so that he doesn't taint the word. But even then, you know, the word is that there's power in that word because it's not his word that he's sowing. Amen? That power is in the word. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 62 verse 11, says all power belongs unto God. How does he dispense his power? Through the word. That's how power comes forth. Hello, somebody. God... Wait, I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's okay. Everything you see in creation was created by the word. If God did not say anything, nothing would happen. That's why there is no word from God that is without power or authority. Amen. It's there. Bible says, there's one particular phrase that I found so interesting. Because when I was doing the Bible study, Luke chapter 1 verse 37. It's interesting. Give me Luke 1:37. Very, very, very familiar phrase. It says here, it says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. I was gobsmacked to find out that this was translated in one of the Hebrew translations, the Hebrew Names version. You know what it says in the Hebrew says? It says, for no word from God shall be void of power. So in other words, it is impossible for the word of God to go forth and not have power behind it. And so, the realm of impossibility in God doesn't exist. Because his word always has power to bring what he says, or what that word goes to do, to accomplish it. I find it so interesting, because, and even in the American Standard Version, the same translation. So there was two, the witness, twofold witness of that. No word from God shall be void of power, or with God nothing shall be impossible. Okay, all right, there you go. Thank you. I didn't know you had that. Thank you very much. ASV. For no word from God shall be void of power. That's why his word, there's nothing like impossible with God. Amen. We're getting there. Pastor, he just stole my thunder. Anyway, no problem. So, now, the thing here is the thing. Pastors taught us over the years that words are merely containers. If you've been here any number of years, you've heard that said over and over again. Words themselves are just mere words. What makes a word powerful is what the word contains. It can either contain life, in the case of God, and in the case of his kings under authority. You see, the reason why when pastor preaches and that your heart begins to tingle, like those guys on the road to Emmaus, when the Lord Jesus was opening a scripture, they didn't know it was Jesus. But you see, something was going on in their hearts, because what he was saying had power in it, and as he was impacting their spirit, their heart was burning. Said, their hearts not burn as he opened the scriptures. That's the power in the word going forth. That's why when pastor speaks, you just hear him say, it's not because you like to dance. It's because there's something in that word that is making you to leap and jump and laugh and say, wow. You know, Someone look at us. When you see Pastor Ibrahim, Pastor Dave, myself, and all the pastors, their mommy, hey, you look at Ocean, really? No. Don't worry, you'll get over it. I used to be like that too. Look at Ocean. What's he saying? You see the word? There's life in it. There's an impartation. There's impact in that word. So it hits you bang. I maybe read something before, maybe a day or two ago, and God just boom, shines that light. Hey! And the thing just rests like the word. Thank you, Prof. Resonates. That's the power in the word. And when it does that, boy, you're not going to remain the same that night. But sadly, in many cases, this does not happen. Why? The Bible says, of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Give me that. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Thank you. There's another phrase in Matthew 12. Luke says, for the abundance, a good man out of the good treasure. Now, this is man. If this is man, can you imagine what it's going to be like for God? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringing forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringing forth that which is good. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. So, the content of our hearts, our words can either be spirit and life, or they can be idle words, words that have no effect. Believe me, there's a lot of idle words going on in the church today. A lot of it. Idle words, fables, and things that don't impact people. Hey, if it was the word of God, it would have an effect. But you see, sometimes even the vessel that is being the word is corrupted. But when God speaks, hallelujah. When God speaks and declares his word, that word is full of life. Zoe, that word is full of the essence of who God is himself. The word is God, and God is his word. That's why when the true word is preached, it has power behind it. Because God is projecting himself into you. Oh, glory to God. Give me the Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 10. Glory to God. Oh, Lord have mercy. The word and the spirit, the word and the spirit, the word and the spirit. Don't worry. It's okay. All right. The word and the spirit. Isaiah 55. There's something that the Lord showed me there. I want to share with us very quickly. Help me, Lord. Isaiah 55. Where it says, verse 10. Let's read from Okay, let's back up a little bit. I wrote verse 10 here. But I want to show you something here. Something that the Lord opened my eyes to see. Verse 8. From verse 8. He says, for my thoughts, let's read together, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Question. Stop right there for a minute before we go on. Why are his ways higher than our ways? Because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. It's the thoughts that lead to the ways. As a man thinketh, or as God thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the thoughts of God, what is inside God's heart? The thoughts that the Bible says, the thoughts that I think towards you are thoughts of peace to bring to an experience. The thoughts that he thinks are what propels his ways, and it's from that same storehouse, that good treasure of things that are high and lofty ways of his, or thoughts of his, that he now speaks concerning you, concerning us. So that, now verse 10, you get it now. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and makes it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Next verse. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void. Why? Because his thoughts are high thoughts. And so his ways are ways that are higher than anyone we can think of. Amen. So my word will not return void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper. It will not only just accomplish. You know, the way you can accomplish at a level. But not only you accomplish, but that word will also prosper. Grow, increase, everywhere. Prosper in the thing where I sent it. In the thing where to I sent it. So we see here, And God said, look, the reason why my word will not return void is because it comes down of thoughts and ways of the much higher. And my pastor used to tell us the reason, thank you, God bless you. Said the pastor used to tell us that it's not the will of God for our thoughts and our ways to be any less than God's thoughts and God's ways. If you can receive that, receive it. What God is saying is that I want your ways to be my ways. I want your thoughts to be my thoughts. So that your own word too, like mine, will not return void. What he's saying here is that anywhere my word goes, it has the power to bring it to pass. Anything. Anywhere it goes, there's a power is there to bring it to pass. So, the Lord speaks to us. And his words do not return void, or should not return void. Amen? Jesus says, the words I speak are spirit and life. So, let me ask you a question. How does God speak to us? First of all, he can speak to us directly in our hearts. Logos, rhemas. Amen? When you read the word, you know, it gets an impression. God speaks to you. I remember when I used to read when I was reading the word many years ago, I never even knew it was in the Bible until God told me before that. But there was one day I was reading Joshua. It says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the word that I began my whole Christian life on. Because I said, God, I want to serve them. I want to serve them. But he said, just serve them. Pastor Mon, just serve them. Until the day I read that book. And I said, this is what... I remember telling she was my fiance, she wasn't my wife. I said, this is what God told me. This is what God told me. I was so excited. Why? Because that word came with power. It was a rhema word. It was in the Logos before. But when I now read it by myself, the word was open to me. And I saw, this is where you are. And since that time, you know, that's how it's been. That's how I know I'm where I am now, by the grace of God, because he spoke to my heart. And thank God the word is producing something. Amen. All right? And so that's how it does. He speaks to us he also speaks to anointed preaching and teaching. Mostly this is how it happens. They sow the word in our hearts by the preached word. That's why the vessel also has to be clean. The vessel also has to be pure. We thank God for pure vessels in this house. Undiluted word over the years. Amen. Purified vessels, meet for the master's use, prepared unto the good work of preparing a body for his kingdom and glory. Amen. So the word goes forth and is pure, is powerful, and full of spiritual substance. Amen. There's a word that came to me that was, it says, Psalms 12, verse 6, says, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. You know, when I read scriptures like that, I say, what is wrong with God's people? There's nothing more pure in the whole of creation than this word. And yet we to whom it has been given, we sometimes even get to a point where we despise it. God will speak a word and I know, but you just rejected the pure word of the Lord. But it says he's tried his word seven times. It's been purified so much that it can't be any purer than it is. When the Lord speaks it to you, he does it for a purpose, that he may go forth and prosper and bring forth and accomplish what that word should do in our lives. But we reject it. And that's where the problem begins, really. Amen. The word is the word. It will always prosper. It will always bring forth fruit. It has power to bring forth. So where the word of the king, there is power. There's power to bring whatever it says to pass. The problem lies with when that word makes contact with the human spirit. That's where the whole Shubon, Tabi, maybe, how I... Of course, thank you. Traditions of men make the word of God not effect. How do you remember Matthew chapter 4? There were three different types of heart. Four. There was a stony heart, a wayside heart. Then there was a stony heart. There was a heart that was choked with all manner of things. And then there was a heart that was receptive and received the word and began to bring forth fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. That's the big problem. That is the issue. And I said, we all begin at the stony heart. Everybody starts there. You didn't come with a heart prepared to receive God's word from heaven. That's the truth. You're going to have to start somewhere. I remember too, that stony heart, I began there. I can tell you for sure. Let me not get into the past. But gradually, because that word had power. That word had life. That word was a transforming word. And that I can tell you very many times. Mom will give me a word. And this happens so often, you know. After a while, your stubbornness has to take a back seat. Thank God for mercy, Rachel. Mom will give me a word today. Said, this is you. You are this, this is that. You know how we don't like to hear. I would like to hear the report. Everybody's here looking all silent. And everybody, you like your report, have you? The Bible says, correction is grievous. That's why we don't like it. Mom will give you a word. I said, me, proud. You hear, Momini? Proud. Me? You don't know me very well. My humble self, thank you. That's today. Tomorrow, less than 24 hours, I'll just hit my head, booza. And then, thank God for Mommy. You just say, well, Pastor G, you know, this is not your final report. You can't change your report. Yeah. The word, if I had taken heed, because you see, when the word comes, it's to let you take heed that something is coming. Check yourself out. And that word would have saved me, from colliding with what the devil's bringing. But you know, that can't be me. You don't know me. Let me get. After a while, well, it happened once, happened twice, happened three times. I don't want to tell you how many times it happened. Gradually you begin to say to yourself, Lord, have mercy. That's how the word works. But you see, it keeps on impinging upon that stronghold until it crumbles. But you've got to receive it. Amen? Case in point. Oh, dear Lord. The children of Israel in the wilderness. That's a classic case. The Bible calls them the church in the wilderness. Give me Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. And here's the thing, though. We're talking about the word of the king in power. Yeah. Now, there's a power that says the gospel is preached. Okay, all right, we'll read from verse 3. So let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Next verse. For unto us, this is Apostle Paul speaking, unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Stop there. So what it says is that the same gospel, there's only one gospel now. Whether OT or New Testament, it's the same gospel. Different emphasis, but same gospel. Amen. Says the same gospel of the kingdom, because the gospel that was preached unto them was to take them from Egypt, which is a type of not being born not being born again, through the wilderness into the promised land where there was destiny. Amen. So it's exactly the same thing. Says unto them was the gospel preached, unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached, even though it was the word of God, even though it was the word of the king, even though the word had power to bring to pass whatever that word said, it did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them. I heard it. Hey. So, how did all this happen? All the instructions that God gave to Moses, all the instructions in Leviticus, you see it in Deuteronomy, you see it in the Bible for Moses, Numbers, all those instructions, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, everything that God told Moses, Moses was relaying to the children of Israel. Give me Exodus 19, start from about verse 3. I want to read this. So we know that the gospel actually was preached to them. They didn't just decide, they heard the gospel, the word of the Lord without ambiguity. They knew it was God's word. It says that Moses went up unto God and the Lord called him out of the mountain saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel. In other words, God was giving to Moses, this is the gospel. This is my word. We said earlier that the gospel can speak to you directly or can speak to you through anointed, divine leadership. This is what's happening. So thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel. Next verse. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bare on eagles and brought you unto myself. Witness from God. Next verse. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. Do you know what God was offering Israel here? The whole earth. Everything. God was, he was giving them everything. Dominion. Thank you. That's been God's purpose since the beginning. Make man in his image and let them have dominion. And he chose the nation of Israel. And he called them out himself, took them to a desert place where they couldn't run away. If they had stopped them in Egypt, they wouldn't have listened. The leeks and the garlics would not have allowed them to do anything. That's what God does sometimes. He corners you somewhere and begins to give you his word. Which is what he did for me. Same with John the Baptist. The Bible says he was in the desert until the day of his showing. The Lord Jesus was in Nazareth, the silent years. That's the David in the desert. Do you have anything else? Do you have anything better to do in the desert and to listen to what God says? Hello? So he took them. Next verse. So all the earth is mine. Next verse. He said, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people. Now you need to check this out. And laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. Next verse. And all the people answered together. Now, check this out. Moses was given the word. He laid it before the elders, and the elders transmitted it to the people. And then all the people together answered together and said, all, not some, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. That was the covenant that he made. And they broke. And Moses returned the words of God. But then sometimes it says that they had the gospel preached. So everything, all the instructions, all the words, you know, that were regarded, that were recorded in Exodus and Leviticus, everything was being relayed to the children of Israel. How to worship God, everything. They said, all that you have spoken, Amashe. So the gospel was preached to them too. But this word did not, Bible says, profit them. God is a God of profit. We'll talk about that. But it was because it was not mixed in faith. But I thought faith comes by hearing the word, folks. Romans 14, 7. Romans 10, 17, I think. Yeah. 14, 7, kingdom. So I thought, Bible says, faith cometh by hearing and by hearing the word. So all you got to do is hear the word. And faith comes, right? Wrong. Right, yes, but wrong, no. It's a paradox, have you? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. But faith without works is dead. So even though they heard the word, they commanded that we will do it all, but they didn't do it. So even though they heard that, we're like millions in the scripture in the church today. They hear the scriptures. They hear it, and all it does is puff them up. Knowledge, puff it up. But charity, working out the love of God, the divine love of your life, is what edifies, what builds you up. You build yourself in love, in your most holy faith. Speaking the truth in love. So it didn't profit them. Guess what? The children of Israel are doing exactly the same thing today. The same mistake. They hear the word. All kinds of words. You know all these, you know what I'm talking about. You know, just put on the TV sometimes. You hear all these, you know, all these funny phrases that, you know, I don't even know any of them. Process jingles. You know all these funny phrases? I have no idea how they get to come by those phrases. You know, I don't even know a single one. When I hear, I just say, hey, all these jazzed up, you know, phrases that sound good. Yeah, you know, they rhyme. Thank you. They rhyme. Pastor says nursery rhyme. They rhyme. You know, they just keep flowing like that. Flowing, flowing. I'm like, how do they do that? Well, see, none of it is in the word. Well, I don't know. Maybe I haven't seen them. Maybe, you know, they hear the word. And all they have is a handful of words. They can't meet. There's some places I don't even know. I just know the word is there. But to tell you where it is in the Bible, I don't know. But when it's necessary, God will bring it to my heart. I will receive the word. I know what the word says. Where it is, it's only people like Pastor Ibrahim and Pastor David that know where everything is. Me, I don't know. I have to get my concordance out. I will get there one day like them. But, you know, I still need a concordance. But there are people that can rattle off Proverbs, King of God, Matthew, King of God says, King of God, the word of the Lord says. Someone won't pray. Come on. I used to wonder in those days. Not anymore. I was like, am I deficient somehow? Because I don't know all these phrases. I don't know Matthew. I just know what the word says. If you tell me, I'll say, yes, that's Bible. But to tell you where it is in the Bible, oh. Now, if you have that gift, take it. No problem. Well, that's not what makes the word work. It's not the chapter, the letter killer. The spirit gives life. I have a lot of people the letter is killing. Spiritually. I didn't try to tell. Anyway. So here it is. The word did not profit them. Because faith comes not just by, it comes by hearing. But the faith without works is dead. Amen. The word did not profit them. We said God is a God of profit. I am the Lord God that teacheth you to profit and leads you in the path that you go. But because they didn't do the word, did not practice it, their faith, even though they heard the word, even though the power of God was behind the word to fulfill, because they... It's the doing that releases the power. Doing in faith is what caused the power to work and to begin to do. But it says, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. You work it out by walking it out. And then it becomes real. And then it begins to take effect in your heart, in your body, in your circumstances. Amen? So the word went forth in power. Oh, glories. The power of the king to do a work in their lives and make all of Israel. That was the point. Make all of Israel a kingdom of kings and priests. That was what the word went forth to do. But in their case, God forbid this is our case. In their case, it did not prosper or profit them. Because of their unbelief, their heart attitude. The Bible says they limited the Holy One of Israel. Can a man limit God? Yes. 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 Even the Lord Jesus. They limited the Lord Jesus in his own hometown. The Bible says a prophet. Well, the Bible says, because he says, it's not the will of God. It says a prophet hath not honor, hath honor except his own house and his own people. That is not the will of God. A prophet of God should have honor everywhere he goes. And health, hello somebody. Especially in his own, among his own people. Because they more than anybody else know his antecedents. They know son of Joseph. Where does he get all this power from? I've known this guy since he was knee-high to an ant. And now he's doing all these miracles? What happened? Jesus, come. Yeah, Joko. What's up? How did you do it? How did that happen? What did you do? That's a man that's thinking. But yeah, he's Joseph's son. Huh? Everybody is sorrow, not sorrow. That's the sin nature. That's the devil. That's the devil talking. And there are many, Father forgive me, many devils today. Even though they see the word of God displayed, the power of God displayed, they say, who is he? Should we know him? You are together now. Where was he ordained? Who ordained him? God did. You know, I'm like my father. I have no liturgical order whatsoever. I just drop from New York City into Scripture Pastor. End of story. If you like, I don't have any ordained. I was ordained here. That's where I was ordained. I have only one father, God, and my father in the house. Amen. I don't have any. But thank God, I don't have any organization behind me. Ecclesiastical organization. Hey! In this day, some people are going to get a shock. So here we are. So, said the limited of the Holy One of Israel by the wrong attitude of unbelief and disobedience. Same thing they did for Jesus. In his own home, they didn't even honor him. They looked at him so tiny. So, because of the attitude of unbelief, when the time came to apprehend the fullness of God's promise, Israel was not able to enter the promised land. because the word sent forth to prepare them. That's what the word was sent forth to do, to prepare himself, a people to be kings and priests, that God could deliver the whole earth to, have dominion. Same thing he's doing for us too. Every one of us, we're all being prepared to start. God wants to deliver the world to you. All things are yours. Thank you. Everything belongs to you in God, in Christ. Will you hear the word? Will you obey the word? And so it was full of, even the word was full of power, but a whole nation perished in the wilderness, except Joshua and Caleb. That says you have another attitude, another spirit. What were they doing that everybody else was not doing? And we see in Deuteronomy chapter 30, everything is there, folks. He says, the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. That's what they were doing. The word was nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, thou mayest do it. They did the word. They put the word in their mouth. They believed in their heart and they spoke it to release the power in that word that came from God into their circumstance. So they began to walk in it. That's the way to do the word. That's the way to release the word, the power and the word of the king, so it works for you to transform you, transform me, to become like the king. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Anything with a fearful heart. Amen? So the power of the word spoken into our hearts by the word of the king is released through the spoken word. And then we do the word. And then we develop to become the king first in our lives, and then others, we see the king in us. It sounds so simple. It is so simple. As I'll say, what has God asked us to do that we are not doing? What does he require for just to speak the word, believe his word, speak it, and then work it out? But we got other ideas. Mercy, Lord. I want this thing to touch our hearts, because the pastor said, without the spirit and the word, we're not going anywhere. Without the work of the power of the Spirit in the Word, working on that Word, in the word, we were saying yesterday, Brother Williams, the Word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstances, what I see or think or feel, the Word is working mightily. But we don't believe it. And worst of all, we don't act. Well, if you don't believe, you're not going to act anyway. It sounds good. You know, but it's not good until you act upon it. And the truth, what I want to bring out of all this is that in this present age, this our church age, we are the most churchified generation of all. Oh, believe it. The word has been preached so much, it's coming out of our ears, out of our noses. It's everywhere. Open your TV, word. Put it on your phone, word. Put your phone to your ear, word. Come to church, word. Go on a bus. Word is all over. Everywhere. You hear it, you hear it, you hear it, you hear it, and yet faith does not come. This generation of Christians, the word is everywhere. On the airways, anywhere you go, word. Anywhere is word, eh? The word of the king has gone forth, Logos and Rhema. We have talked. I thank God for our father, Papa Fred. He said, we've been talking. Speak the word only. We're speaking the word only. That's the problem. We only been speaking it. We haven't been doing it. We've been preached to. Some people can preach the message, pastor preaches backwards. Start from the end and finish at the beginning. But what? Only very few are walking the walk. That's why I've come to say today. I want to thank God for this house. This house, by the grace of God. I mean, if you're here now, in this day and this hour, God has had mercy on you. You've been through a lot of changes, to say the least. Many have come and many have left. So if you're here today, by the grace of God, you are part of the remnant that God is going to use. Many, but we can still do better. There is still a lot we are not doing. And many of us, like Pastor Jay and I were saying, many of us assume that when the glory comes, we will just change bus. That everything will just be fine overnight. There'll be no more. You don't have to pray. God forbid. You know that cannot be true. I mean, you just take it easy. Because the glory is here now, man. The glory is come. You'll be surprised what people are thinking. People are waiting for the glory, so they won't have to do the things they're doing anymore. Just take, thank you, sit and take the ease and sleep. But it says, woe unto them that are ease in Zion. The greater woe is those who are ease. The glory has a weight, folks. That talks about the weight of glory. When it comes, there's a weight of responsibility that comes with it. You must carry it. I'm not just talking about physical now. There's that part also. There's a physical weight. When you carry the glory, you know you're carrying something. But apart from that is the responsibility you have to be always ready. That's why the Lord Jesus, he will do miracles and he will withdraw and retire. Because he can't afford to let the power go down. He cannot afford not. Somebody comes to your doorstep and says, John, let me pray that way. Let me quickly go and pray. Come back in 5 hours. You just missed it. It's going to happen. A lot of people are thinking, well, when the glory comes, yes, it's going to take care of a lot of things. But you have a weight of responsibility to carry that glory, to be a part of what God is doing. You must be ready. That's why God is doing all this preparation, creating the ground floor. So when it comes, you'll be a vessel ready. Meet for the master's use. Prepared unto the good work of demonstrating his kingdom to manifold powers and principalities in heavenly places. That's what is happening. That's why the word has power. That's why the word is being preached. So we'll work out that salvation and be ready. Amen. So this is it. We've talked and talked and talked. And very few are doing the walk in the walk. Like Caleb and Joshua. Amen. But the return on investment. It was Pastor used that word and I just latched onto it. I've been trying, but God has helped me. But God has been having mercy. Return on in business, we call it ROI. Sister Lally. Return on investment. God has invested. He has, thank you, husband and labor. Says he waited for the precious fruit of the earth. He's invested everything he has, everything he is. He's given you everything. He's given me everything. There's no way you can be more like God than, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's given you, the only thing you cannot be is God himself. Everything, the Bible says you are joint heirs with Christ. The Bible says you are God's. And all of you are children of the Most High. His entire kingdom has been laid out for you. All you have to do, all I have to do, all we, the church, have to, is to fulfill our little part and step into that inheritance prepared since before the world began. That's all. Everything. He wants to return his investment. God is a God of profit. He's the shrewdest manager of resources in the entire creation. Amen. And he's going to have it all. Always going to have it. Always going to have it. Hello, somebody. Pastor telling us that we don't see Christianity as a serious business. Think of something that you do on the side. God forbid. Many of us, you don't say it. You don't think it. But the attitude is there. Let me give you an example. Come to church Tuesday, Wednesday, Sunday. Now thank God for Sunday. Sometimes the church is full. But look around. Where's everybody else? I have married a wife. I have a new yoke of oxen. Have me excused. Hello, somebody. I'm talking to myself too. God is moving here. Pastor is preaching. He's doing live scriptures. You see them walking around the back over there. To and fro, to and fro, to and fro, Flow. The moment that tomato offering by, the whole church empties. Shoom. There was a word the Lord gave me one day. He said, it's possible not only to forsake the assembling of ourselves together by not coming, but it's also possible to forsake the assembling of ourselves together by leaving early until God finishes. Now, I am aware that there are people who have, you know, medical issues. I'm not. But if you don't have to, it's not right. I'll say that again today. It's not right for you to leave God in the lurch. He hasn't asked you to leave. He hasn't said it's time to go. But you just see, it's like an exodus. Forgive me. It's not like an exodus. It is an exodus. Once we say amen, everybody else gets up and starts going. By the time the service is actually over, only about 50% or even less of people who were in the service are remaining. What happened to the other guys? They had something that God was preventing them from doing. I said, God, you've taken too much of my time. I gotta go. I cannot wait any longer. I may be wrong, but if I were God, I'd be pissed off. Forgive my words. Amen. Take that. So, God is a serious God. What is he going to do? God is a serious person. He doesn't joke. Now, God is a wonderful God. He has a great sense of humor. But when it comes to his word, he doesn't fool around with his word. God forbid. Forgive me if that sounds irreverent. God takes his word very seriously because he is his word. And God takes himself very, 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 very seriously. You wouldn't believe how seriously he does. He's taken so seriously. And what he's going to do as a manager of resources, God is going to cut his losses. Re-strategize. That's what he's doing right now. He's going to cut his losses, re-strategize, and rebuild. God is the original Jew. How's he going to do this? Zechariah chapter 13, give me verse 8. Zechariah 13, verse 8. I want this to sound very sober. Because this is how God preached it to me. It's not my word. I don't have any, you know, thing in this word. So, and it shall come to pass. Hello, Ejekaka. You're not going to be part of them that God is going to cut off, is he? Yeah, are you planning to be cut off? No. This is for those who, you know, despise his word. And it shall come to pass that in some of the land, in all the land, this is universal, saith the Lord, two parts therein, which is in the land, they're Christians, shall be cut off and die. But the third shall be left therein. So out of two, out of every three, cut off. Next verse. We know the scriptures. I'm not saying we don't know. I'm just aligning in the purview of what God is saying to us now. And I will bring that third part through the fire. Thank God for the fire. The fire says you are chosen in the furnace of affliction. That's why things are tight for you now. You're being chosen. You're being refined. You will stand in the fire. But the fire will not kindle upon you in Jesus' name. We just remove all the grave clothes and all those bounds that God, things that help you, holding you bound. And I will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. So anything that is unprofitable will be cut off. And God is raising up this company. It's happening as I speak. And God will use this one third as a template for the entire church thereafter. It's happening as I speak. Amen. What we say? This is the word of the Lord. We need to settle in our hearts that God's word works. The Bible says the word of the king has power. It works. How do we know? Because the whole of creation is proof. We said at the beginning, everything that you are, everything that I am, this body was created by the word of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. Everything. The Bible says the worlds were not only made, they are kept going by God's word. We see the whole, everything works by his word. So why when you read things like that, it should make you think and say, If everything, we see the promise, we're so familiar. We've heard it over, we've read it over. But, you know, it's good to pause sometimes and say, ah! Bible says the worlds were framed by the word. In other words, the boundaries of creation were framed by God's word. Everything was, and everything in that boundary originates from what God said at the beginning. Even this body. Everything. It says the worlds were planets, were made by the word of God. And those planets were made so that you and I can populate them later on. Amen, amen, amen. Take it, receive if you can. And it's sustained by God's word. So the word works. The word is a word of power, yeah. Okay, but the problem, like we said, is when that word comes to the human heart, because of the sin nature, and also, I didn't mention this earlier, because of the free will of man, you have a choice, you know. God is not going to force you to believe. Oh, the Israelites didn't believe. God didn't kill, well, he did eventually, but, you know, he just allowed them to die off one by one. God is not going to force you to believe his word. You have a choice. And it's a choice that you make that will determine whether the power in that word, that king's word, will work in your life and in mine. Pastor, sometimes the word can remain in your heart for years. Pastor already preached that many months ago. Talked about the indestructible word. There was seed. The seed in the word is sown some places and it doesn't germinate for years. I'm telling you, the word has power. Tell your neighbor, the word has power. And it works. The word of the king, wherever it is not without power. It has power. And it will work. It will work the moment that the faith is applied and the move, the thing that will bring forth the power in that word, that faith and that doing is applied, it will spring forth and begin to work. That's how it works. It's there. So, the word is not... we talked about that. We're not prophet. But I said, God is a God of prophet. And every word of God, every word of God is profitable. Hello, somebody. It says, all scripture. Give me that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I believe. Verse 16. Read that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16. Thank you. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Doesn't matter for what. Is profitable. It says profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness. Next verse. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works and inherit the kingdom. So, God is a God of profit. He'll lead you in the way of profit. He gives you his word that is also profitable. Amen. Why does God want us to profit, folks? Very, very simple. The problem is so far hitherto, in many instances, you know, that profiting has not appeared unto all. Says this, when he was writing to Timothy, somewhere in Timothy, he said, you know, take, you know, heed to the doctrine yourself and the doctrine that thy profiting may appear to all, or in all things. I think that's where it's, Pastor Brian, I know the word, but I don't know where it is in there. I know it's in Timothy, Pastor Brian, what daddy? 1 Timothy 4:15. See what I'm saying? He knows. Me, I don't know. 1 Timothy 4:15. 15. No? Thank you. Thank you very much. It says, meditate upon these things. Give us holy to them. What did Caleb say? It says, we have wholly followed the Lord. That's why they inherited the land. Here, Joshua. Different attitude. He says here, give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear. Notice it's may. Because if you don't give yourself wholly, your profiting may not appear to all. But God wants it to appear. God wants our profiting to appear to all men. He wants to demonstrate the profiting of his word in our lives to every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth, so they will see God at work in you. And they say, how'd you do it? Say, the word of the Lord. When they see that, they will come running. But before that, though, they're going to come running. Let me share with you a scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Lord have mercy. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. There was a man, when he was young or old. But I preached this some time ago, and the Lord brought it back to my mind. Verse 14. Ecclesiastes 9:14. Read me this. Let's read this story. This is why you have to profit, folks. This is why. There was a little city and a few men within it, like this city here. Thank God for our city. Our city is of God's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Little flock, fear not. It's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But thank God for the little city. But you will see what the problem is in that little city now. So there was a little city and few men within it. And there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. As a prince of the power of the air. All right? Now, there was found in it, there was found in it a poor wise man. Now, hold those three words. Poor wise man. And he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Now, the man delivered the city from being besieged by his wisdom, which means the man was humble. Because for you, God to give you wisdom, you must be humble. He was lowly. But he was poor in spirit, and he wasn't poor in God. No, folks. That's the issue. Poor in spirit, poor in... his wisdom could not be seen outside at that time. Thank you. Yet no man, remember that same poor man, even though he delivered us, even though he saved, you know, human accolade is fleeting. That's why you don't want to ever put your confidence in man. Today, Hosanna, tomorrow, crucify him. When the guy did this, I'm sure they'll agree, praise God, hey, thank you. But they give him a plaque for delivering the city. But after that, they just put him in somewhere. Because the guy was poor, you see. Not poor in spirit, which is good. And he had a lot of wisdom, which means that he was pleasing God. Hello? But nobody remembered him. Next verse. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Bible says, a wise man is stronger, excelleth in strength. Said that, nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. What words are those? The words that God used to give him wisdom. The word of the king. They won't listen because the man no get. His profiting is not appearing. It's appearing to God though. It's appearing to God. God knows that he's my man. Give him abundant wisdom. Wisdom so much so that he was strong in that wisdom to deliver a city that was besieged. He delivered the entire people in the city. Perhaps for a moment they were happy. But after when everything went back to normal, he was not even reckoned in among the people. So they forgot him. And they said, his words were not heard. The words that God gave him, by which he delivered them. So he had the word of the king in his heart and in his mouth. But because he was poor, nobody heard him. Where am I going with this? I said, God wants us to profit. The only way, help me, Lord. The only way that the world will recognize, surely God is in thee. Now the world will see power, they'll see miracles and signs and wonders, but even that, many places they'll just look and say, that's a nice trick, do it again. Yes, sir. I said, do it again. That's good. Hello, someone. You guys, I've been in such a... I'll tell you something. I remember in New York, 1985, And you see, I saw it on TV, which was just as well. Somebody made the Statue of Liberty disappear. His name is David Copperfield. I am telling you that that statue disappeared. Why do I say disappeared? Because where the statue was, helicopters flew over it. They flew over it. They were flying where the... I didn't know God there. But anointing God, what do you call it? And he said, there's no power. Where did the statue go? And then after an hour, it just came back. Hello? What happened? Power. I'll give you another example. I saw this one. Sometimes it's not good to watch late night TV too much. Because it's all kinds of things. So I was minding my business, eating my Chinese dinner. I was watching late night TV. And then some guy came up. He was a magician. 1985, 86, I'm at that time. Just before I came back to Nigeria. Then that's why God brought me back. We said, to my mama. I'll never forget it. I can still see the thing today. This guy was playing the violin. So, I don't play violin, so what? And then he just stopped like that and let go of the I don't want to call that the string. And he just left the violin in mid-air like that. In mid-air! And the violin stood in mid-air and it was playing itself. I knew nothing about devil then. I was a homeboy. I'm telling you. I've heard of this guy David Copperfield. I'm not trying to scare anybody. The guy, he levitated from the stage where he was doing his work and he landed and he was outside in the car park. Documented. And you now come to say, praise God, hallelujah. And then you do something, you say, do it again. You don't remember Janice and Jambres? Janice and Jambres duplicated Moses' miracles until the finger of God took over. But they duplicated it. So even that is not even what... But you know what will convince them? When they come to you and they enter your place and they see unprecedented wealth. What did Sheba do? Queen of Sheba. I said she fainted. When she saw Moses' Solomon, saw his household, saw his servants, saw his standing, his ascension to the house of God, saw all the things. The man said she fainted. Because that's what the world sees. That is profiting appeared. Now, Solomon had a big problem with concubines and all that. But what I'm trying to say, Bible says, why did he use that? Wisdom and riches. Bible says, a greater than Solomon is come. Wisdom and riches. This guy has wisdom. Where is he? The guy in that dream, he had wisdom but no riches. They despised his word. They didn't hear him. Thank God for wisdom. You have wisdom in your heart, but let's see it outside. Let us see that wisdom producing abundant riches that we cannot gain. Say, now we're talking. He came to hear the wisdom. Greater than Solomon is here. Why do you use Solomon as an example? Because Solomon had two things, wisdom and great wealth. You can have wisdom, it's good when you're a nice guy, when he's nice, he's a good man, he's a man of God. But Solomon did not expect better God to have the kind of riches that Solomon had. But when they see that, wisdom, the mind of Christ, they see abundant riches, they see the a character, they see godliness, they see all these things, they say, surely God is in you. Then they will listen. Say, this is our God. We have waited for him. That's what God wants to do. That's why you got to be profitable. Amen? And he showed, like I said, he showed us in the hallmark, in the hall of fame of faith, that the word works. How many of us today will that day to go to the lion's den? How many people, like Pastor Lee was saying yesterday, how many people by the word of God, when you hear that the king's decree has been signed, and that anybody that prays to anybody other than Nebuchadnezzar will be killed
instantly,
thrown into lion's den. How many of us will would open our window wide? I'm not sure he used to open the window before, but that day he opened the window wide. And he did his prayers as it was before. Full stop. That's profiting our parents. They will know that there's something here. Most of yours, he that fights and runs away. And we have a covenant based upon better promises. Amen. That was Old Testament. God used that to spur us on. Say, if my word can work in a covenant that has not all these guarantees that you have, can you imagine what is going? That's why God said we're going to do the worst deed and even greater. But you see, you've got to take that word. That word must bear fruit, must profit with power in our lives. Amen. And God has given us a better covenant, established on better promises. God has made abounding grace available to counter every abounding iniquity. So, with all this investment of God's resources, the church should not be in the situation we find ourselves in. Should not be. Now, I'm aware there are times and seasons, yes, definitely. There are times and seasons in God's plan. And God is doing a different thing in every season. But the Bible says it's the fruit for every season. That's it. He brings forth his fruit in his season. Every season has a fruit. Where's our own fruit? Where's our own fruit? Mercy, Lord. God is looking for fruit from his vine. Now, you know, don't despair. There's still time. Maybe God is going to, maybe one of us will be a tree that God is going to dung around again, give another year or so. But the essence is he wants fruit. He wants to see that prophet. He wants to see that word that he has spoken in your heart, that has been reciting in your heart. He wants to see bring forth fruit. He wants to see bring forth profit. He's a God of profit. Amen. This will not be your portion. Amen. God will not take you out of his vineyard. Okay. So, this is it, folks. We are awaiting now the imminent manifestation of the sons of God in glory. We're waiting for the first fruits of Zion, amen, the fruitfulness of Zion. And all this does not remove the fact that many of us have underachieved because we have not taken this word of God as a business. And God, I believe, put that thing in the Bible for us, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine a 12-year-old child? A 12-year-old child. Jesus was not God, though. He was a man anointed by the Holy Spirit, yes, from the womb, yes. But he was still 12 years old. He could have been playing football or whatever it is, what they used to play in Nazareth that day. He had all the distractions that he could have had, but he focused. Which means that it was a choice. He made that choice himself. They didn't make it for him. Hello, somebody. Yes, it's possible. God, the Holy Spirit, I'll tell you, you're a different guy. But all of us have been told exactly the same thing. We all have had the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. It is not coming to us in the night seasons. He's come to us by the word of God preached by our fathers. That you know you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your spirit and in your body, which are God's. It's got the same word. The Holy Spirit comes to you in the morning and says, you know, that in Isaiah chapter 50, I think. That's what it says. God wake him up morning by morning to hear, as it says, and I was not rebellious. He could have chosen God. Of course, nobody here does that. He made a choice at 12 because he understood. He took it seriously, he took it diligently, and he took it daily because he expected, he wanted to make a profit in the business of the kingdom. He made sacrifices. Now it says he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He said, not my will, but thy will be done, O God. And you know what? God was happy. Before and after. Before it says, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. The day he was resurrected from the dead, it says, this day I have said, I have called you my son, this day I have begotten thee. When he got to heaven, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever. The scepter of thy kingdom is of righteousness. For thou lovest righteousness and hatest iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. The Spirit be thy witness. Thank you. Every one of us can receive the same reward. Your throne, O God. Hello, some. If you can receive it, receive it. Your throne, O God, do you. Your throne, O God, Bosse. Your throne, O God, Prof. Amen. Is forever. Amen. Hello, what does the Bible says? Says he has prepared a place for you at the right hand of the Father. He that overcometh will I grant to sit in my throne, even as I have overcome, and I'm sitting in my Father's throne. Thy throne, O God, is forever. But you've got to love righteousness and hate sin and wickedness for God to exalt you above your fellows with a spirit without measure. This is it, folks. And how do we do this? Very simple. And I said, what has God asked us to do? We know already. My son, give me your heart. Let thine eyes observe my ways. Oh, man. Let me ask you a question. How many of us here have prayed the pastor that pastor prayed? Train me like Jesus. Yeah. Lord, I mean, that's a hard prayer. But you pray, God is no respecter of persons. It depends on your desire. But anyway, so sonship, very, very important. It's what makes it. How do we do this? As we close. Oh, Lord have mercy. I trust we got something out of this. By the blood. The Bible says that through the blood of the everlasting covenant may he make you perfect. The word, whoso keepeth his word in him is very, his, the love of God perfected. And by the Spirit, nobody knows. We hereby know we dwell in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. This is what's going to bring the Father joy. We use that blood, the word and the Spirit. Notice the word has the power in it to bring whatever that word says in our lives to pass. The Bible says it will prosper in a thing wherein to be descent. Is it pride? There's a word sent. Is it foolishness? There's a word sent. Is it arrogance? There's a word sent. Is it fear? There's a word sent. Is it lack of integrity? Whatever it is, there's a word sent. Get that word. Use it. Don't say until you see the fruit. Don't stop. I know. I've been there. Pride. I'm still working on it. Not there fully. But I've seen fruit. And if you continue like that, that word has the power to bring forth what it was sent to do in your life. If you believe it and you work it out. How do you believe it? You accept that it is. First of all, you need to accept that you yourself are that. That's where the problem is many times. Most of us don't understand. When God gives you a word and it hits you, buzzer. Ah, you say, by the time you get home, you say, no, that cannot be me. Ah, it's not me. Ah, too far. Not in this life. It's not my word. Not from you. Lord God is trying to get you to see who you are and take you from where you are to where he wants you to be by that word. But if you don't receive it, you will never begin to work it out. God forbid. That's where humility comes in. That's where, you know, lowliness and meekness. Jesus said, learn of me. I am meek and I am lowly in heart so you can find rest unto your souls. We accept that word. We believe it and then we now begin to do something about it. By using that word that has a power of God in to bring forth whatever it is sent us and to prosper in the thing where it is sent in our lives. And you use that word, you pray it, you speak it, you imbibe it, and then you begin to work it out. And gradually, that word will break down every such resistance until one day you find out that thing's gone. You're changed. You're changed. You're a new person. You're no more like that. That was you before. Your report has now changed. That's how it works. It's very simple. Everything God is a simplicity in God. It's not a big thing. This is how it works, folks. By the blood, by the word, and the power of the Spirit, we add travailing prayer, backed by the life of God, we do it daily. And so, God will be able to release the power in the word to accomplish, first of all, in us, and then through us, so that we will prosper in the work of the Lord. That word will prosper in us and bring us into the place of the kingdom and of the glory that we are expecting. This is it, folks. Power and profit is in the word of the King. May the word work in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. I speak to the Lord. We come to A poor man's wisdom is despised. It's good to have wisdom. It's good to have wisdom. Wisdom strengthens. But the world cannot see wisdom alone. They must see that prophet in every area. So that no whatever they look at, they see the word of the Lord working. They see God at work in you. Every aspect of our lives. The word of the Lord will not return void in our lives. I finish with the last verse. There's a verse that says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. What that means is this. There'll be some times when you do without bread, but you must never let it come to a time when you do without the word of God. Because that's where your real life is. Your life is in Christ, in the word. Let's speak to the Lord and ask for his help. It will profit. That word of the Lord will profit in our lives, bring us into a place of glory. Hallelujah. Where the word of the King is, there is power. For no word from God shall be without power. That word, let it work in our lives. That's a good one. Fear the Lord.
The Lord of the Lord.
Shall we stand up?
Is perfect, converting the soul.
The testimony of the Lord.
The testimony of the Lord
is sure, making wise the sinful.
More to be.
Rejoice in the heart. now respond to the word of the Lord that has come tonight. We put a hand upon our heart, signifying our heart submission. We raise up a hand to the Lord, telling the Lord that without Him we cannot, we will not be able to do this except with His help. And say, repeat after me. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood in Jesus' name. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word that has come tonight, reminding me that there is no word from you that is without power to effect your word in our lives and in our circumstances. Rather, I understand it is because of a heart of unbelief many times and the lack of doing of the word which we hear that causes that word to seem as though it is of no effect. And so I come to thank you for giving me a fresh understanding. It is your will that every word spoken into my life, whether directly by your Spirit or most of the time through anointed leadership, spiritual authority, should go forth to prosper in my life, to accomplish and to prosper the thing whereunto it has been sent in my life and in my circumstances. And so I covenant with you. I beseech you for fresh mercy, fresh grace, abounding grace in this time of abounding iniquity. Lord, that I will take that word and I will believe it. I will put it into my heart. I will speak it into my mouth, that I may be a doer of the word that I hear, not being a hearer only, and therefore be blessed and receive the fullness of what that word is to achieve in my life in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, I ask for mercy to be faithful daily by the blood, by the word, and by the Spirit to perfect your love and to perfect the fullness of your word with power inside of my heart, so that my property will not only be inwards, but in this season of your manifestation of the sons of God, my property will appear unto all men, so that men will see me and say, surely God is in thee. They will say, this is our God. We have waited for him. I covenant with you, Father, for mercy, grace, to be a doer of the work and not a hearer only. In Jesus' name. Let's pray in the Spirit. Rizam barakatuka shire kubaya. Rembili braka korogedges kokana. Mereba sendero duka sanga. Ramaremia salu koromayaba. Father, me don't sere mga. Rembe saramakari. Father, me don't sere tiko baya bendili. Rembe no kere sere mo my kara. Rambalik. Rembe le belo gambali belo kedembele. Rembe la masamha karo makama le makula. Maru batomde. Rembe salamo kamba sere. Ha. Father, Heavenly Father, make me a faithful witness of your word in the earth. In Jesus' name.